org.
This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're doing landlord-tenant issues, legal protections for tenants, and we're also doing issues for renters using internet marketplaces such as Airbnb for short-term national and international vacation rentals. My guests are landlord-tenant attorney Sal Timpano, his office is in San Francisco, and real estate and shared economy attorney Tad Devlin, a partner in the San Francisco law firm of Kaufman, Dulowich, and Volokh. My guests are panelists for the San Francisco Marin Lawyer Referral and Information Service of the San Francisco Bar Association. They are great friends of this station and this program. This segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. The San Mateo County Bar Association. It's also funding for the program is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. So here's what we're going to do, everybody. I'm going to ask Sal to tell us what some of the major problems are for regular tenants, and then I'm going to ask Tad to talk a bit about the things that if you are planning a vacation and using an internet marketplace such as Airbnb, what you should do to protect yourself. And gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Chuck.
Wonderful to have you here. Sal, what are the major things that you'd like people to know about?
So for tenants, particularly at this time with the rising prices of real estate and limited housing in San Francisco, you'd be surprised at the amount of tenants who are breaching their leases. They're breaching their leases in many ways, including not paying their rent.
Mm-hmm.
This is a potential problem for the tenants, depending on what they're trying to do, because they stand to get evicted. Once you get evicted from a rent-controlled apartment in San Francisco, it's very unlikely that the tenant is going to find an apartment in San Francisco to replace it at even double the rent.
Really?
Depending on how long they've been tenants.
Wow.
The prices have went up dramatically in the last 3 years.
Yes.
So if anyone's been a tenant for more than 3 years, they probably have a pretty good, maybe 4 or 5 years, but they've probably got a really sweet amount of rent that they're paying, and yet it's being put at risk. I see it with 15-year tenants. They're putting their tenancies at risk by breaching their leases.
What is happening to them? Have they lost their jobs? What's going on?
No, they're not losing their jobs. What I think it is that they can't afford the other expenses of living in San Francisco.
Yes.
Just other expenses. One tenant told me that his car got towed. It cost him $1,500 to get the car back.
Okay. That's outrageous.
And that put him right over the edge, and he couldn't afford to pay the rent.
How long was the car stored?
I think it was stored for close to 10 days.
That much?
Yeah, it was close to 10 days, and he couldn't get the money to get it out. Finally, he got the money to get it out, and then he couldn't pay his rent.
Oh, what a shame.
And he was a 7-year tenant at this place. And he's in a position where he might lose his tenancy now.
You know, that charge by the towing company sounds really exorbitant. And
yeah.
I'm thinking, although he paid his money, got his car back, I think he might want to file a complaint with the district attorney's office, frankly.
You know, what he told me is after he paid his fee to get the car,
that,
and I'm laughing about it because it just seems like the ultimate insult, but there was a ticket on his windshield to boot, and he had to pay that as well.
Oh, no.
You know, in time. He didn't have to pay it to get the car, but he was going to have to pay
man.
It within the period of time of paying the ticket.
That's
so
tough. That's
so, you know, it's expensive to rent in the city, and it's expensive to live in the city. And tenants really need to, appreciate or treasure their rent-controlled tenancies.
Boy, I'll say.
You know,
I'll
because they're just not going to get another deal like that again.
Sal, let me bounce over to Tad and ask Tad to talk a little bit about something, and then I'll come back to you.
Sure.
Something that people should be looking out for with respect to, if you're thinking of being a renter of one of these internet marketplaces such as Airbnb, what major thing would you want to tell them, Tad, at this point?
Sure. To dovetail on what Sal, and I'll answer your question, Chuck, but to dovetail, a lot of these landlord-tenant scenarios, even the long-termers, are using Airbnb and other short-term rental platforms. And so that may in and of itself be a breach of the lease or the homeowners association rules and some would say that could be grounds for a cancellation of the lease and an eviction.
Really?
Yeah.
So is that part of the San Francisco ordinance?
No. Not per se, but it would fall under it in terms of the grounds to evict somebody. But if the contract, the lease between the landlord and the tenant says you can only have so many number of people staying here, you cannot use it for a commercial purpose, you cannot sublet it is typically the clause without my express written approval, and then they go and they rent it or they find it and they find themselves in a cash crunch. So they try to make ends meet, and San Francisco, they'll put the place up on Airbnb, and there's an app out there, of course, that will crawl and grab the Airbnb hosts. And so the landlord goes to that database and says, hey, I saw you renting my place. You're making more money than I'm charging you. And then they an issue of one of many. I mean, some of the – I guess the primary issues, and I got five of them. I guess first is fraud. Make sure who you're renting from is not only are they a legitimate host or renter to you, but that the platform they're using, there's just too many internet scams, that the platform they're using is legitimate. I mean, we've all heard about these Craigslist scams, and I don't mean any denigration of Craigslist, but it's this new world of commerce and exchange. And so now, recently in the news, there was an Airbnb scam where somebody created a website that looked just like Airbnb, and sure enough, some folks wired them the money, which is another no-no.
Which you should not do, do any time.
Even with a credit card company, you've got an ability to control the commerce and the transaction. So fraud, know that you're getting the bona fides from the renter and the platform, if you will.
How does a consumer who, let's say, is not familiar with the shared economy, et cetera, or Airbnb, internet marketplaces, how does someone determine whether or not the platform is legitimate? How do you do that?
I hate to say you go to your IT department, which in my case might be my 10 and 11-year-old, but you got...
I love it. I love it.
You do need to know the lingo and the medium a little bit, so it requires... reading and more homework. So
now Airbnb, using it is one of the internet marketplaces. It instructs people, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that what you want to do is you do not pay whoever your host is, wherever you're going to stay. You pay Airbnb, and Airbnb will then pay the host of whatever the place is you're going to stay, wherever it may be, in any one of 191 countries in the world.
I think you could rent a tree fort even in some, in the Congo.
We can do that.
Oh, dear. We're going to get Wi-Fi. But
I've never tried that, but I want to try it.
I think, yes, you want to make sure you're following the rules. They've got this pretty well-established program, and everyone's using it. And people who may try to build a better mousetrap, if it sounds too good to be true,
it's
probably not true.
Yeah.
I will caution this, though. You are, because I've done it and had clients who've done it, but you can enter into a lease for a week-long stay. And it was through a VRBO to name them, which is another platform. Mm-hmm. But we went through the platform, and then in getting the bona fides through the platform, the host did send me a lease. And then we get into more traditional, what Sal was speaking about, where you get into contract and actual lease issues.
Mm-hmm. You know? Let me just mention something to all of you. There's a good article, and this relates to fake Airbnb sites. It's in The Guardian. And I'll give you the website. You might, if you are thinking of taking a trip wherever it may be, either in the nation or in the world, you might want to take a look at this, www.theguardian.com/money, and then look for Travelers Fake Airbnb. And I think you'll find it very helpful that it's an article about a 27-year-old woman from London who was scammed and lost 800 pounds. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And some people have lost as much as 5,000. Let me bounce back to you, Sal, if you would. What's the next thing you want to warn regular tenants about, or maybe landlords, whatever you like?
Yeah, well, for tenants right now, since I already spoke a little bit about them, the other thing for tenants is to really consider taking care of their units. You know, the mentality lately has been, let's let it go into disrepair and then we'll sue our landlord. That's been the mentality.
Really?
We just let it go into disrepair. We won't tell the landlord.
This is the first time I've heard that.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my. You know, wow.
You know, because the landlord's only going to be responsible for fixing items that they know about or should know about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So landlords may want to do property inspections a couple of times a year. You know, the tenants may not like it because they're being intruded upon, but it's the landlord's right and obligation. And I'm stressing obligation. They should really go in and look at the units, because a tenant who's allowing the unit to go into disrepair may one day turn around and sue the landlord for a disrepaired unit. Well, that's unfair. And the landlord's going to say, well, I didn't know.
What kind of disrepair are you talking about? Give us a simple example.
I'll give you a simple example. Windows that leak.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So they leak. They're going to cause water damage.
Yes.
Now, you can live with it while they're leaking, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, but over time, it's going to create a lot of damage.
Fungus. Perhaps in the walls.
Yeah, or maybe even faulting the foundations. So then a landlord doesn't know about it. Well, how are they going to know to repair anything?
Yeah.
Well, what ends up happening then is the landlord may have to actually do a temporary eviction. Mm-hmm. To repair the
which
place.
Which is at the landlord's expense.
At the landlord's expense.
For the tenant to live somewhere else.
The tenant's going to move somewhere else temporarily. Yeah. But when the tenant comes back to the newly remodeled place or Frick's place, the rent is going to be more. They're going to have a capital improvement rent to pay. So they're going to have more money to pay in rent over the long term. If tenants want to be long-term tenants in San Francisco, they should take care of their units. They should let their landlords know what's going on, because otherwise they might get a quick buck now, but in the long run, they've lost their rent control tenancy.
The landlord's basic responsibility, aside from every other thing that a landlord has to do under the law, is to provide a habitable property tenants to live in.
That's correct.
So if the water heater is leaking, or there's no hot water, or there's some other kind of problem like that that the tenant has not caused, that is the landlord's responsibility. Now, if the landlord doesn't fix it, what can the tenant do?
If the landlord doesn't fix a reported problem, then the tenant can report that landlord to the San Francisco Building Department.
I see.
You know, to call the city officials and tell them, hey, I've made the complaint, you know, or I've reported the repair. I've even made a complaint to the landlord. It still hasn't fixed it. Then it gets reported, because those things have to be fixed. They're called life safety issues. You've got to have hot water. You've got to have heat. You got to have working locks.
Of course.
You have to have these things. So if a landlord gets a report about those things being dilapidated, they should fix it right away within a reasonable amount of time.
Are you finding generally in San Francisco landlords are doing that?
Generally, yes. But there are some that don't, because they feel that if they don't fix it, it'll encourage a tenant to leave. And some of them do.
That's nasty.
But
really nasty.
It's bad business. It's really not the way to do it, you know.
Can tenants in a situation like that sue the landlord and get any kind of punitive damages under the law, under California law?
They can get punitive damages.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And those punitive damages come along with attorney fees. And Tad and I like those.
I mean, you guys get paid for this?
Yeah, they get paid for that too.
Oh,
so, you know, there's also those built-in incentives for landlords to fix the complaint. If there's a complaint, look into it and fix what needs to be repaired.
I want everybody to know that, by the way, we're doing this program live on September 14th. And for those of you who listen to the full hour, we'll give you a phone number in a few minutes. You can call in and talk with my guests with your questions or your comments. Joanne Marr and I are now going to take just about a minute or so. So bear with us, if you would. This is the 75th anniversary of this wonderful station. 75 years ago, San Francisco school teachers and students put KLW on the air. And you may not know this. It's the first FM station in San Francisco and everywhere in the west of the Mississippi River. And if you find that your legal rights and the volunteer on-air lawyer guests, such as my two friends here and our monthly call a lawyer night when you can talk with attorneys off the air, have helped you to solve or avoid a problem, then what should they do, Joanne?
The number to call is 800-525-9917. That's 800-KALW-917. Or you can go online, make your contribution at kalw.org. KALW is the only station that has a Your Legal Rights show in the Bay Area, and this is really a unique service. It's a valuable community asset that has probably helped hundreds of tenants during the last 30-plus years
that this
program has been on the air. It's made possible with your support, so help us out now, 800-525-9917 or online at kalw.org.
Yeah, and thanks very much for listening, and we're going to go back. All right, Tad, if you would, what's the next thing you want? By the way, I noticed as I was doing some research on this, and you sent me a beautiful outline, and I thank you very much for doing that. What should the average potential renter do in terms of inquiring about his or her own insurance coverage before going into some place?
Yeah, that's a big issue and an important point. So we're clear on what we're talking about. A renter in the Airbnb parlance is a guest. A landlord in Airbnb parlance is a host. Mm-hmm. So they have a host guest. So a guest renter should really, again, there's self-homework here. So they got to evaluate what insurance policies they've got in place. Do they have an existing homeowner's policy? Do they have renter's insurance? Are they a tenant? Do they have any other coverages? Do they run a business? Do they have a business policy, a general liability policy? I think auto and health can be set aside. And if they're unclear, then they mm-hmm. call their broker or they mm-hmm. call the insurance company and mm-hmm. get the information directly from the source. And then these issues now are so common, and then I work with many of the insurers and the insurance professionals, that they're ready for these calls. So you call your broker and you say, hey, we're looking to take a trip to Lake Tahoe or wherever you're going to do it or whatever, or I'm going to add it internationally. You know, here's my insurance coverage. Am I okay? And get some information from your insurance company on the front end. Do you need to get a rider? Maybe you need to get an additional rider that you can get from your own insurer. You should also take a look at Airbnbs. Airbnb's got a liability program. They have an insurance program set up,
which I understand Airbnb requires all of their hosts to be covered by $1 million coverage. Am I right on that?
That's right.
And what is that? What kind of coverage does that mean? Does it mean if the renter is injured on the property, there's medical coverage, that kind of thing?
That's right. I mean, you're going to get into each coverage scenario is going to have its own different twists and turns. But generally speaking, yes, each renter and their guests, presumably, or those that the insurance company can anticipate would be there, would be covered for any bodily injury claims or, mm-hmm. Say a stairwell, a handrail on the stairs breaks, or they slip on the stairs, if they're mm-hmm. going to do the insurance company's going to do the adjuster for the insurance company through Airbnb will do a claim evaluation and be pretty responsive to the renter's claim.
But what about this, Tad? If a renter goes to some place, wherever this may be, and this is through the legitimate platform, it's through Airbnb's platform or one of the other legitimate internet marketplace platforms, and gets to the place where they're going to live, and find out it's just trashed. Mm. How do they deal with this? I mean, they've already paid Airbnb money, mm-hmm. I presume. Mm-hmm. So how do they deal with that? Wherever it may be, whether it's in the United States, in California, anywhere else in the United States, or internationally, how do they deal with this?
Yeah, there is a system set up through the platform, a review and peer rating system, if you will. So it's supposed to be self-regulating, and, mm-hmm. and it largely is. Hopefully, you get what you anticipate when you get there, but these things happen. So I would immediately contact, again, you're going to contact the host, so the renter, put them on notice of it. Hey, I've got a situation here. I would contact Airbnb right away. Mm-hmm. I would also put, if it's so severe and dramatic, you might you might want to contact your credit card company and put the claim in dispute is mm-hmm. another method you can use.
Always pay by credit card. That's what you're saying, I presume.
I really would. Yeah,
I agree with that.
And most of the credit card companies these days have a pretty good claim dispute process. Mm-hmm. And then also you can contact your insurance company as well And if all else fails, or you can reach out to trusted counsel and give Sal a call. And so
yeah.
Or call the Bar Association.
Are you involved at all, Sal, with Airbnb, this kind of thing yet?
I'm involved in that some I've got there's some landlords out there that are trying to evict tenants in order to participate in Airbnb.
Really? Oh, my. I love it.
And, you know, Tad might be able to chime in on this, but I believe that the Airbnb rules in San Francisco only allow rentals to Airbnb for 2 to 3 months out of the year.
It's like 90 days.
90 days max.
Sal's right. There is a cap on it. First, it's got to be your primary residence, and so you can't. In theory, you shouldn't be hopscotching around. And how many places can you live?
So, in other words, let me clarify this: if the host has his or her or their private home somewhere, but they also have, let's say, a condominium somewhere, and they want to rent out through Airbnb or whatever the internet marketplace may be, their condominium. What's the problem with that, if there is?
Well, it is in San Francisco. Right.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a registrant. There's an Airbnb registration process, a short-term rental, I should say, more broadly, registration process, and you're really not supposed to be running a Marriott by another name, where you've got
your own smaller hotel,
or a bed and breakfast. I mean, it traditionally evolved out of the B&Bs, the bed and breakfast, but there are folks out there who could have, I've had folks, scenarios where folks do have one wife lives in property A and husband lives in, or whatever, partner lives in property B. They each are a primary resident of their respective places.
And that's legitimate?
And some may say that's the key to a long-term marriage, Chuck.
Now we're getting into family law here, gentlemen.
We need to fill this chair here. Yeah,
wait
a minute. Lawyer.
I joke.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Sal, what thoughts do you have on any of this that we've been talking about? What further thoughts do you have?
There's property owners in San Francisco that own a lot of property, and they'll put multiple properties on Airbnb.
And they can do that? They can legitimately? No.
Not in San Francisco. In other counties, perhaps you can, but in San Francisco, it has to be your primary residence, because the city wants to discourage landlords from vacating their units of city occupants and renting to visitors. So it's got to be your primary residence. So when you get a landlord who wants to evict a tenant in order to Airbnb that unit, number one, it's not their primary residence, so the residence of the landlord, so they can't do it. Number two, you can't do it for more than 3 months anyway. Yeah. So now they're going to turn a rental unit to house a San Francisco resident into a hotel, permanent. and it's against the city ordinance.
Money is the root of all evil.
Definitely the root
of
a lot of
wonderful phrase.
Yeah, they're working hard, and they're trying to make the money, but it's illegal. It's wrong.
Let me throw this to you. A caller called in saying, where will we find citations in the code defining capital improvement? Is there some place that...
I think the rent ordinance,
right.
San Francisco rent ordinance.
Yeah, they'll define capital improvement in the San Francisco rent ordinance.
So can they Google San Francisco rent ordinance, and will they find that?
That's correct. Okay.
Google rent ordinance capital improvement.
Okay, capital improvement. All right. And the second question was, how will we find case law interpreting those rules and regulations? Is there any case law available?
There is case law. I go to the library, or I use LexisNexis to do my case searches. Really, my paralegal does most of that, and then just gives me the case, and I can read it, which is really nice.
Well,
thank him for that.
How very convenient for you.
Yes.
I don't want to take bread off Sal's table, or anyone's for that matter.
Oh,
but,
come on now. Come on. Take the bread. Grab that bread.
We've become – it's the there is Google Scholar, which is another – database that's a Westlaw Lexis, if you will, and I think it's free, and it has case law in it. There's also there's a few others, but you can even type it into the Google search bar, and there's a button you can push.
I have found it very responsive.
It's pretty intuitive. It's not as finite and directed as Westlaw and Lexis, which are the methods that lawyers are familiar with.
Yes. You know, another thing with respect to this question from someone who may be having a problem. I'm a great believer in you taking advantage of lawyer referral, wherever you may be, certainly in California, and for a half an hour consultation, let's say with a landlord-tenant lawyer, whether you're a landlord or you're a tenant, you'll pay, with some exception throughout the state of California, maybe no more than $25 to $35. It's a great way to do it. So with respect to trying to get some grip on it, I think some landlords are really kind of hesitant to realize that they owe it to themselves to get some legal advice.
I agree,
Chuck. On this program that I've had, you know, landlords do this, admit this. And I think from the tenant standpoint, also, it's very valuable. We're getting close to the end of the statewide version of the program. I want to let you all know that in a couple of weeks, we will do our usual Call a Lawyer night, where you can talk with any one of several attorneys off the air. And the magic number is I think you probably have heard it before, 800-525-9917. So I invite you to do that. One of the things that I'm going to tell you about for those of you who are asking, and this particular question, how do we find citations, et cetera, where is the case law? I'm going to tell you in just a moment a little bit about a book that I have great respect for, published by Nullo. It's called California Tenants' Rights, and it's beautifully done. And it's something, if you're a tenant or even if you're a landlord, you might want to get a copy of it and review it and see what it may mean for you, whether you're a landlord or a tenant. So for that caller who said, how can we find the case law, et cetera, I would highly recommend that you might want to look for, whether it's at your library or a bookstore, Nullo's California Tenants' Rights. By the way, I want you to know, Nullo is not a funder of this program or of KLW. And Joanne and I are going to do a little bit here. And for you, I want you to know that we have a gift for you. This is our thank you gift. If you are a tenant or even if you're a landlord, I don't want to exclude landlords. Nullo, which I just said to you, is not a funder of this station or a funder of my program, but is a believer in what we're doing here. This station was founded 75 years ago to provide education and learning for the population. When I started this program many years ago, we are doing a program with the rights and obligations that you might have. So what I'd like you to do is, if you are a tenant and you'd like to make a contribution to the station of $100, we will send you California Tenants' Rights. It's 1-800-525-9917, or go to the website klw.org. Anything brief, Joanne, on this?
You can also go online and make your contribution at klw.org, klw.org. Contribute $100 and get the California Tenants' Rights book by Janet Portman.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much for listening to that. And for those of you who are listening to the program live, I want you to call in now. It's the toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Joanne, I don't know what you're looking at here. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255 if you would like to call in on the program and ask a question, make a comment to my guests. I would appreciate it if you would do that. And Joanne, I think you're trying to give me a message. Would you write it out and bring it into the studio so I know what you're... we wanted to stop the half hour, obviously, at 7:27. So in any event, we have just gone beyond the normal half hour, and our normal half hour, for those of you who don't know, is 27 minutes. We then record that. We have recorded that for half an hour or 27 minutes. It is then sent out to 15 other stations in California, which listen to the station next week to the half hour. But those of you who are listening to the live program right now, I would like you to feel comfortable if you have a question in the landlord-tenant area, or if you have a question about being a renter of, let's say, some vacation spot, whether it's in California, it's elsewhere in the nation, or it's international. I'd like you to call in and speak with my guests. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. And let me just let you know who my guests are. If you've tuned in the last few minutes, I've had a couple of fellows who have really been great, let's say tenants by any means, but they are great people who have helped me on the program for over the period of time. Sal Timpano is a landlord-tenant attorney. His office is in San Francisco. My other guest is Tad Devlin. He's a real estate and shared economy attorney. Now, shared economy is what we would talk about, such as Uber, Lyft, Airbnb, etc. He's a partner in the San Francisco law firm of Kaufman, Dulowich, and Volokh. And both of my guests are panelists for the San Francisco Marin Lawyer Referral and Information Service of the San Francisco Bar Association. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County. And for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. And as I said, in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours, tell them what the problem is, and they'll set you up with an attorney who's experienced in the area for half an hour consultation. It's a great way to learn your rights and obligations. And with minor exception in California, the charge for half an hour is $25 to $35. It doesn't go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep that service going. Additional funding of your legal rights is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association. So I want to encourage you all to take advantage of my friends who are here and ask questions. We've got someone on line number one, Martin. If you will help me with whoever this is, we'll let this person come on the air. Who's on line number one? Catherine, is this Catherine?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi. I just want to say on the landlord side.
You're a landlord?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine. Good, good.
Well, I just want to say that a lot of landlords that want to go on B&B and stuff like Airbnb and stuff like that are women who are older. They're trying to just live in the city on a very low income.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not villains. They're not casting people out. And, they're just trying to get by. And really, there are a lot of them, older women who are trying to just pay for their house and pay for their expenses. And, in a city where a head of cauliflower has gone from 80 cents to $4 in 3 years, it isn't an easy thing. And you're living on Social Security and stuff like this. So we're not those classic villains you hear about. We're not taking cruises on the rent that people pay us for this stuff. We're using it to live on.
did you think, Catherine, did you think that Sal was knocking you?
Well, you know, I mean, landlords do get that impression sometimes. I'm not saying specifically he might have been doing that, but, you know, a lot of this stuff is not, well, we're using it to go and cruise Europe. No, we're not, you know. We're just trying to survive, and a lot of people are, and not your image of a slum landlord or somebody that owns all kinds of buildings and is, you know, living high on the hog off of it, because they're just not.
Are you involved with the with Airbnb, Catherine, at this point?
No, I'm not.
You're not.
I can't be. Okay. At the present time.
Well, I thank you. Do you have anything else you'd like to say? Because I don't want you to feel that we've abused you or abused landlord generally.
Yeah. Well, I just like people to recognize that a lot of the people who are trying to do that, you know, are having survival issues of their own.
Yeah.
And they're not just wanting to do this for frivolous reasons.
Of
they
course.
Can be doing it because they have tenants that don't pay their rent and stuff like that.
Well,
and
I thank you. I thank you very much for calling in and clarifying that. Let me see how Sal would respond to this if you turned your radio back up. Any thoughts for Catherine?
Sure.
Sal,
hi,
please?
Catherine. Most of the landlords in San Francisco are good landlords. San Francisco is not a town known for bad landlords.
Yeah.
Most of them are good landlords. There's a certain small percentage that keeps lawyers busy, and same for tenants. Most of them are good. If it was the other way around, we'd have to triple the court system to handle the issues, and then that would mean there'd be a problem with the legislature. The rules are not bad. We live in a crowded city. People want to come here. They want to visit here. They want to live here. They want to raise their families here. So it makes it difficult. That creates this competitive environment that we have for space.
I see.
Landlords are entitled. They have the right to rent out their place to Airbnb, but they can only do it 3 months out of the year.
Yeah.
That's it. Their own home, 3 months out of the year, and that's it.
So where are the landlords going?
Well, I want to dovetail on what Catherine said and what Sal just said, and I think that's a tension point. I agree that it's generally a pretty respectful community of landlords and tenants, at least in terms of what I see in the real property court down in Department 501 in San Francisco, what's at my desk, and what I see as a community member.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's
And you live in the city.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a big... I have a bit of a struggle myself because I see as a property owner for somebody to tell me what I can do with my property seems unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like a taking, quite frankly, not to get to get into con law 101 here. But, you're the king of your kingdom or whatever the expression goes, except, my home, but that's a different story. So
you're not the king of
your own home. That gets into family law.
We're not going to go there. Okay.
What can landlords do? I think what everyone should do and continue to do is stay informed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that means I understand there is a big demographic age divide in San Francisco. You have the new kids on the block, if you will, with all this tech money.
Sure.
And then there's what happened to old San Francisco. And it's not your mom and dad's San Francisco,
no.
is a lot of the expression you
no.
hear. So how do we all coexist? I think we stay informed. You stay vigilant and you be, I hate to say it, you be a good person. And that means doing the right thing. Like Sal said, you fix the repairs, you be responsive on both ends of the equation.
Let me come back to you on this with respect to people who are thinking about dealing with either Airbnb or some other internet marketplace for a vacation spot somewhere, wherever it is. There is a way, is there not, that someone can do some research to determine if a particular place where you're going to go, whatever the city may be, I presume, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I have not used Airbnb or any one of the other places that you talk about. Can you do some research on the computer to see What comments other renters may have had for a particular place?
Yeah. I get a lot of grief at the house because I spend hours poring over these reviews.
Your kids want that computer.
Dad, get off the computer.
You're
relegated to a flip phone. But the point is that, again, it's just doing your homework. I'm going to read all the reviews, the negative, the positive, and there's a lot of information available. And I would check alternative websites. I would go to TripAdvisor, not to promote them.
It's
more for a vacation setting. I think that's the scenario you mentioned.
You can Google TripAdvisor, and that's okay.
That's right.
Go ahead.
You could check TripAdvisor. I would check Airbnb. I would check VRBO because a lot of the hosts, they cross list, if you will, so they can, you know, might even check Craigslist. I would directly contact the host, which you're allowed to do prior to booking through the channel. Yeah, through the medium. And get your questions answered. See if you can get some references. If you're uneasy about it, you're going to pop down a big chunk of money for a security deposit. Then why not let me talk to a couple of recent renters? There's always things that pop up when you go on vacation. Oh, there's construction next door. We didn't hear about that. Today they're turning the water, or whatever it is. Something's getting shut. The main attraction is getting shut down. So really, using the computer, but also picking up the phone and seeing if you can have a dial, that the phones still work and have a dialogue with people.
Okay, let's take another call. Rocky, welcome to the program. Rocky, are you there? Hello, Rocky. Rocky, you're up, my friend.
Room in my house. Okay. I'm getting mail for former roommates who have moved on. I don't know what I could do with, I don't know. I'm not interested in what I should do with this mail or what I could do with this mail. What I want to know is there anything...
Rocky, turn your radio down. Turn your radio down.
State law.
Okay. Unfortunately, Rocky had his radio on while he was also talking to us. But the question is this. Rocky had been renting some location as a landlord to somebody. And this person left without giving a forwarding address.
Mm-hmm.
Rocky is still getting at his rental property the mail for this former tenant. And Rocky is wondering what he needs to do. My thought for Rocky was, and I talked with Rocky, I guess it was, a week or two ago. I think what he needs to do is to contact, frankly, the local bar association. I think he's in Contra Costa County. Contact the local bar association or a referral service and ask to speak with a landlord attorney and get some advice. Start with $25 or $35. That's not too much. It's certainly tax deductible for a landlord. What thoughts do you have? And one of the things, Rocky, that I need to let you know, both of my guests are members of the State Bar of California, and there's an ethics rule where my guests are not permitted to give specific legal advice on the program. What we generally try to do is give people some direction of what they can do to help themselves, whether it's going to lawyer referral or whatever. And what thoughts do you have for Rocky, if you would, Sal?
For Rocky, I mean, if I'm understanding the problem correctly, he should call his local post office or give him a visit and bring the mail.
Yeah.
Bring that mail with him. They'll probably take it from him.
Yes.
And they may not be able to prevent more mail from being delivered there, but maybe they can.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they can speak to the postal person, and maybe they've got a system in place there to take care of it mechanically.
I see.
To where he doesn't have to keep getting this mail and then doing something with it.
So this is a couple of things that Rocky can do.
There's a couple of things he can do right there.
Yeah. As opposed to, obviously, if there are some significant pieces of mail that have come through that may have something to do, let's say, insurance coverage or something like that. If Rocky were to deep-six it,
he shouldn't
deep-six it. That would be a real mistake.
Right. Yeah. He shouldn't deep-six it. He shouldn't open it. I'm sure he knows these things, and I don't think he's done these things. But he should take it to the post office and just ask them what to do with it. It's the responsibility of the former occupant to have the mail redirected.
Oh, sure. Of course.
But it shouldn't be thrown away. They should take it to the post office. They'll tell him what he can do with it.
Rocky, I hope that helps you. So I think hopefully that will be of some help to you. Joanne, let's do a little something here because I want people to realize that this beautiful station, which, and I mean that seriously, This has been on the air for 75 years. We are celebrating this month its 75 years on the air. And I hope that you value what this station stands for, which is information, enjoyment. If you find that you feel that this is an important station to you and you enjoy it, you get something out of it, you get something out of my program, every contribution makes a difference, everybody. For example, the basic membership is $50, and in this drive, we've had listeners give $100, $365, that's $1 a day, and even $1,000. So at any level, we value your participation. And the number, it help us to keep this, to have a future for this station by calling 1-800-525-9917 or klw.org and click on donate.
Well, the pledge level I personally like is $75 a year, and that's because this year KALW is celebrating its 75th anniversary. So you can say happy birthday to us by contributing a dollar for every year that we have been on the air. 800-525-9917. Contribute $75 and help out KALW on its 75th anniversary at 800-KALW-917 or online at KALW.org.
Thank you for listening, everybody, and supporting our station. We believe very strongly, all of us here, in this public radio station. So let's see. We've got Bill. Bill, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you for taking my call. I live in Richmond, and I'm a longtime renter in this property that I've rented for over 20 years, and to raise a family here. And as it's happening all around the country right now, there are some rent control laws going into effect here in Richmond, or at least an election for them. So being aware of that, and also being aware that for the first time in all this time I've rented here, that my landlord is now registering his property with the city of Richmond as a rental. And we know this because we're asked to have our home ready to be inspected by the city of Richmond for the first time. I am... You know, I'm in here at a below market rate, and I'm really feeling worried that I'm going to be either evicted or have a sort of a, like an unsupportable rent hike coming my way. And I'm just wondering if you can give me any advice or background to my, about my rights as a renter in a situation like this. And
Bill, let me ask you this: you're not under rent control there with your property?
No, are you not on, currently.
Are you on a month-to-month tenancy?
Yes.
And how long have you lived there?
Just under 21 years.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I'll tell you what I think, and then I'm going to ask my guests to respond to you. I you have not gotten, you're not sought the advice of a tenant's attorney, I presume.
Not yet, but
I think you need to.
On that.
I think you need to. Richmond is Contra Costa County, are you?
Yes.
Yeah. I suggest that you call the Contra Costa County Bar Association, ask to speak to someone in lawyer referral, and ask to have an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants. Start with half an hour, and it's going to cost you, I don't know exactly what the Contra Costa lawyer referral charge is.
I think it's 30.
It's 30. Yeah, I think it's a great investment. Do that, because at this point, I think you really need some legal advice face-to-face with an attorney. And I think what you need to do before you go there is write down for the attorney, because half an hour goes awfully fast, write down something that you would give to the attorney that kind of sets forth the facts of what you're concerned about, the period of time you've been there, what's going on, and see what the attorney can advise you of what you can or cannot do. Sal, what thoughts do you have for him?
Well, he's been there for over 20 years.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been served with a rent increase notice last year or the year before, or the year before that.
Yeah.
It seems like the concern is coming because the property is being registered as a rental. So it seems like that's causing some concern.
Yes.
But otherwise, the history I see on this unit suggests exactly the opposite, you know, that there isn't going to be a huge rent increase.
Mm-hmm.
If he has a good relationship with his landlord, if he has that, you know, he can talk to the landlord about this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's no rules about you know, him not being able to talk to the landlord and expressing his concern. If he's been a good tenant, the landlord has a good reason, too, not to seek top dollar rents as well, because those come with top dollar problems, too. So, you know, if he's got a good tenant there, he or she may not be thinking to raise the rent.
Are you still there, Bill?
Yes, I am. No, I actually have got rent increases the past 2 years.
Have you tried to talk with your landlord about this and try to find out what in the world is going on?
There's a rental agent between me and the landlord, and the rental agent's a little very opaque.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, if you did get rent increases in the past, and they were consistent, perhaps the next one would be consistent as well. Usually, rents, you know, are based on the cost that it takes the landlord to maintain the property and market value. I don't know what the market value and rents are in Richmond, but that would...
Well, I'm about 60% of market value.
Ooh.
Okay.
5-0.
6-0.
Is
your unit, is that for the condition of your place the way it is, or is that for the condition of your place if it were, you know, updated?
Well, it's actually okay. I mean, you know, my wife and I do work on it, and because we have such a low rent, we don't, you know, we've done a lot of upkeep, and we're very conscientious people. So it looks nice, and I believe, you know, I think I saw on Zillow its rental value is, yeah, it puts us currently what we're paying at about 60% of what the landlord could get.
Right.
So with rent control coming, my concern is that, you know, he's going to feel locked into this. You know, he can't ever get rid of me, and I'm going to be below market forever.
Good point.
Well, that could be the landlord's concern. Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
I'm just going to offer. I mean, Bill, I hear what you're saying. I hear good things. The fact that you've been there for have a 21-year history is an indication to me that you have a good relationship with the landlord. And it sounds like you guys take care of the property. I couldn't agree more with Sal. You know, the landlord, from his or her perspective, would rather have a long-term stable tenant as opposed to a rent hike and then you know, a lot of turnover or potential for, you know, having to initiate eviction proceedings. So that bodes well. And I agree with Sal. You should have an open dialogue. I was going to say about Zillow, I wouldn't. There's other information out there, and not to knock Zillow, but I just found it is not exactly, you know, spot on. With respect to the agent, just try to cut through the middle person
And talk directly with
the landlord. And if you're getting up against it, like Chuck said, I'd reach out to the lawyer referral, because you've got a lot. You're 60% under market. I mean, if you do the math on this thing and how long you intend to be there, you know, better to be spend a few bucks with an attorney. Potentially, if you need one, and somebody can help you on the front end rather than be penny wise and pound foolish.
Yeah. So, good luck to you, Bill.
Thanks so much.
I'm glad you called, but I, you know, you got your homework now to do and hopefully follow through, which hopefully will you know, give you some more information of what may be happening. So I'm glad you called.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, take care. A couple of questions here that came in. Do your guests have any comment on the record number of cities that have rent control ordinances on the ballot, such as San Mateo, Alameda, Mountain View, Richmond, and maybe Burlingame? Do you have any thoughts on this, Sal?
I'm aware that they have those on the ballot, and I think that the reason that they have them on their ballot is because their watering holes are getting crowded as well.
Yeah.
You know, so then that's why this comes around. It wasn't needed, you know, years ago.
No.
But and here maybe it, you know, I mean, they're having a tough time there. The rents are up. The property values are up. That means there's competition by a lot of buyers for a little space, or a lot of occupiers for a little space. So then these rent ordinances come about, and they have good and bad, you know, consequences. But the alternatives are that you've got a population of people that can't be stable.
Yeah.
And it's really – that's no good for anybody. You can't really run a city that way.
Yeah.
So that's why these things are coming around. Whether people like them or don't like them as a whole, I don't – it depends on who benefits.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I think that's right. And I think it's a supply and demand and an economics a little too much of a good thing with the tech explosion. These areas that are on the ballot, and San Francisco is kind of the orb of it all.
Yeah, yeah.
It puts a strain on the infrastructure, which means the freeways, because if people can't afford to live in San Francisco and they're commuting from God knows where because they can't afford to pay the rent here, then you've got a displaced population. So there's a lot of planning and more global or California issues.
Yeah, certainly when I come here to do the program going northbound on 101 in the afternoon, the enormous amount of traffic going southbound on 101, frankly, I find mind-blowing.
It is.
It's really an indication, people can't live, or a lot of people can't live in San Francisco. It's just amazing. All right, we have about 2 minutes left of the program. Sal, final 30 seconds comment, if you will.
Chuck, I just want to tell all your listeners, I thank them for listening onto the program. I think it's a great program. I think this is an excellent show. And I want to say happy birthday to my father. It's his birthday today, and
no
I'm going to go
kidding.
See him after the program.
Cool. How old is he?
I believe 75. Just a coincidence.
Let's
I believe he's
75. Tell him when you see him, he needs to make a contribution to KALW.
Somebody needs to make a contribution to Sal's dad, I think, too. That's happy birthday to Sal's dad.
Last 30 seconds.
Same respects, Chuck. It's really an honor to be here with you and your dad.
You guys are too much.
It's cool. It's very cool. And I think it's invaluable service. I've got good feedback through professional channels and from listeners who hear what you do. And I would just say to the audience, just stay informed. Keep doing what you're doing. The best way to arm yourself is with information, which is what the show provides.
I think it is. I think it certainly is the best way to do it. Try to educate yourself, and that's why I mentioned earlier in the program the whole thing about NOLO again, which does not fund this program, does not fund this station, has this very fine book for tenants called California Tenants' Rights. And if you are a tenant, I think it would be worth it for you. You don't have to buy it. You can go to your local bookstore. And do you want to see the book?
I want to see if you autographed it.
He wants me to autograph the book. In any event, I would highly recommend that to you. And by the way, I want to thank you both very much for joining me on the program. It's also always a great pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
I want to thank Tad Devlin, partner in the San Francisco law firm of Kaufman, Dolovich, and Vullich, and also Sal Timpano, pardon me, landlord-tenant attorney with office in San Francisco, and Tad's also in San Francisco. Again, both of my guests are panelists for the San Francisco Marin Lawyer Referral and Information Service of the San Francisco Bar Association. Thanks, both of you, very much.
Thank you, Chuck.
By the way, next time on Your Legal Rights, the topic will be employment law issues, and it'll be about workers and the shared economy, gig economy, Uber and Lyft. And my guests will be employment law attorneys Michael Malema, Josh Young, and Tom Lenz, and Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McClain. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding for the program has been made possible by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which is also the funder of the public radio satellite transmission of the program. And what I'd like you to know is if you want to get any help from a certified specialist, or go to your website, nbtalawyers.org or calbar.ca.gov and go to Legal Specialists. I thank you for listening to Your Legal Rights, and I hope you join us next time on your public radio station. And again, I am very pleased that this is the 75th year of KALW Public Radio. I'm Chuck Finney.